Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
I wonder if you can help me finish this quote. That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. Well done, everybody. Now, I'm sure some of us here will remember crowding around those little TVs, you know, back in the day, kids. The TVs were very small. Crowding around 53 years ago, watching the broadcast of the Apollo 11 moon landing as it happened. It's pretty incredible to think about, isn't it? Like, human beings have actually been to the moon. Like, you know, you look up in the night sky, that little bit of rock, and you go, we've actually been there. Isn't that amazing? I think that's amazing. And more than that, as we just said before, as Neil Armstrong, he sets his first step onto that surface, and we get these remarkable words, some of the most memorable words in human history. That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. The moon landing, at least in Armstrong's view, was a giant leap for mankind, for humanity, for us. And yet the irony is, I suspect for most of us, if not all of us, the fact that human beings have actually walked on the moon probably doesn't actually make much of a difference for your life. I mean, for a historical event that claimed to be for us, from what I can tell, it doesn't have any effect on my life. It seems to be one of those, you know, interesting historical events of the past, but nothing more. Well, this Easter season, we have been, as a church, we've been thinking and reflecting about those two words, for us. For us. Jesus died for us, and Jesus is risen for us. You know, what was one frail, stumbling step for a person, for one man, because he is risen, was truly one giant leap for mankind, for us. But of course, just like with the moon landing, it's possible to believe in the resurrection of Jesus as some sort of quirky historical event of the past, and yet have it affect your life in no way whatsoever. You know, maybe that's your neighbor across the road. Maybe that's your colleague at work. Maybe that's your adult children. Maybe that's you. The overwhelming picture that we get from the Bible is that the death and resurrection of Jesus is the single most significant event in all of human history. Unlike the moon landing, the fact that Jesus is raised truly does transform our lives today. And so today, I do want us to dive into this. I want us to explore three ways that the resurrection of Jesus transforms our lives. Because Jesus is risen for us, it impacts all of life, the past, the future, and the present. Because Jesus is risen for us, we have confidence about the past. You see, the resurrection of Jesus, it authenticated everything that Jesus had said and everything that Jesus had done. See, the resurrection, it assures us that Jesus is who he said he was. If you look at the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in our Bibles, they cover the life and ministry of Jesus. And in these, Jesus, he proclaimed that he was the way to know God. He was the source of truth and the path to find life. You know, Jesus, he promised that you and I, even though we might experience bodily death, if we trust in him, if we believe in him, then we will experience life forever. And Jesus assured his disciples that his death on the cross and his rising, and so he said that before he died and rose, he assured them that this would be something that will bring about complete forgiveness of sins for all of those who trusted in him. And because Jesus was raised from the dead for us, we can have confidence that everything that he said for us and everything that he did for us is true. When Jesus died on the cross, he cried out, "It is finished." It was. We can have confidence about the past, and we could trust him with our lives today. You know, the Bible actually tells us that the resurrection of Jesus is the guarantee that we are now right with God. A couple of chapters before our reading today, in Romans chapter 4, it says, God will count us as righteous. That means right with God, in a right relationship with him. If we believe in him, the one who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, he, that is Jesus, was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God. Jesus died because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God. What does that mean? Well, if you have ever had a problem with your phone or your laptop or your iPad or your Wi-Fi router, any of these things, I'm sure that you know the best advice to fix a problem is just to try turning it off and on again. And the amazing thing is that it almost always works, doesn't it? I was going to provide some technical explanation as to why that works, but you know, we all know it works, so let's just go with that. Now you could say that switching it off, turning it off, like that's kind of fixed the problem, right? Like it's no longer malfunctioning if you've turned it off. But of course, it's only half the story, isn't it? Like say my wife, if she was having a problem with her phone, and I had a look at it, and I'm like, bloop, whoosh. All right, I've turned it off, I've fixed the problem, here you go. Like, I'm not sure that she will be particularly impressed about my solution to that problem, because I haven't really fixed the problem, I've just turned it off. You know, it's only when we turn the device back on again and we power it on that we know that the phone is actually fixed. It's only when the phone is back on that can we see that whatever that glitch was that was there is no longer there. It's only when the power is back on that this device can serve its intended function, its intended purpose again. When Jesus died on the cross, it was God taking all of humanity's glitches, malfunctions, viruses, malware. The Bible calls this sin. He takes all of that and transfers it into himself. And then the sky went black as the divine programmer of the world disconnected himself from his source of life and powered himself off for us. But on the third day, as we heard in Matthew 28, the women, they arrive at the tomb to be greeted with this amazing news that Jesus is alive. The one who took our sin and died for us is now alive forevermore. And because Jesus is alive again, we know that the virus of human sin has been dealt with once and for all. What once separated us from our relationship with God died along with Jesus. And we who trust in Jesus have now been wiped clean. We get a fresh start and we can be truly human again in a right relationship with God. Because Jesus rose for us, you and I can start over with God. We can start again from fresh. The Bible says there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. You never have to worry that, like, is God going to turn around and say, no, you're not good enough? No, because Jesus is risen, we know that everything that could separate us from God's love is now dealt with on the cross. It is finished. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so because Jesus is risen for us, we can have confidence about the past. What happened on that cross 2,000 years ago was effective for us today. Well, because Jesus is risen for us, we also have hope for the future. Now, the Bible speaks about the resurrection of Jesus as being sort of the first fruits of a harvest. You know, the first stuff you get before the harvest begins. Or as I like to think of it, the first pop that you hear when you put a microwave popcorn bag in the microwave and turn it on. You know, you're waiting for a bit and suddenly it's like, pop. And then, you know, there's going to be an awful lot of pops immediately after that. And this is God's message for us, is that with the raising of Jesus, there is a lot more where that came from. With the raising of Jesus, we see life in the face of death. We see hope shining through a world of fear. With the raising of Jesus from the dead, God is proclaiming loud and clear that the future age has already begun in his Son. Because Jesus is risen, we have a firm hope that this broken, hurting world will one day be made right. There was an uncle who unexpectedly needed to look after his niece, Annie. And so as Annie arrived at his front door, he thought, oh gosh, what am I going to be able to do to kind of entertain her? And so he looked around and he picked up a magazine, and he was flicking through it, and he saw a map of the world. And so he said, he had an idea, and so he says to his niece, watch what I'm going to do. And he holds up the page, and he carefully cuts it out into lots and lots of little squares, and then he muddles it all up on the floor. And he says, hey Annie, here's some tape. I want you to put all the squares back together to make the map of the world again. And when you've done that, come and find me. And so he thinks, okay, well, that's going to keep her busy for quite some time. But a few minutes later, Annie came up to him and says, Uncle, I've done it. And he thought, no, surely not. No, you couldn't have done that. And so he went to have a look. All the pieces were all taped in exactly the right place. And he said, how did you know where to put all the squares? Ah, she said, well, when you were cutting out the magazine, the map, I looked on the other side and I saw a picture of a man and a woman. And I thought, if I could see the man and the woman and I could put them back together again, then I could put together the world again. And this is what God is doing in the resurrection of Jesus. God is putting the broken world back together again, starting with humanity. Through the cross and the resurrection, God spiritually resurrects our broken hearts. And in Romans 8, we read that the bodily resurrection of Jesus, the one that he experienced, will one day be ours as well. God, who raised Jesus from the dead, will also give life to our mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in us. And then as you read on through the chapter, it goes on to then say that the whole of creation is now then going to be renewed and restored by God. Starting with humanity, the world is being put together again. And it is moving towards this glorious climax where death and brokenness and evil and betrayal and suffering will be gone forever. Soon we're going to be singing a song together called Resurrecting. And it wonderfully, the lyrics, it would wonderfully capture our future hope and destiny, all because Christ is risen for us. The bridge goes, by your spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. We have hope for the future. Finally, because Jesus is risen for us, we can have comfort in the present. Because Jesus is alive today, you and I can have a genuine relationship with Him today. Today. And so that means that no matter what you are going through, because Jesus lives, you are never alone. He knows what you are enduring, and you are never outside His love or His concern. Because Jesus is risen for us, He is in heaven right now by God's side. He is hearing your prayers, representing you before His Father, and strengthening you by His Spirit. Because Jesus has died and has risen for us, the wonderful words here in Romans 8 are true, that nothing, absolutely nothing, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. Imagine that you are going bushwalking. You're walking along, and then at one point, the path, it branches into two, and you don't know which way to go. Like, left, right, like, I don't know. As you approach the fork in this path, you notice that there are two men there. One of them is dead, and one of them is alive. Which one are you going to ask for directions? Listen, the founder of every single world religion is dead, except for one. When we become Christian, we are not subscribing to a set of principles or rules for life. We are putting our love and our trust in a real person who is alive today. If you are looking for rest for your restless soul, if you're looking for direction in life and purpose, if you're looking for healing and forgiveness from your mistakes and the past, because He lives, Jesus alone has the authority to do just that. He has the authority to meet that need. The closing words of Matthew's gospel, Jesus says to you and to me, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And because Jesus is alive, we know that that is true. This provides enormous comfort for us in the present. And particularly if you or someone that you love is facing death. Jesus is the only person who has experienced the fullness of death and has overcome it in victory. This life is not the end. There is life beyond the grave, and we can draw comfort from knowing that we do not need to fear death when it comes, because our Saviour has already been there. Jesus is risen for us. His power is with us. His presence is with us. His love is with us. He brings us life in abundance today. And so as I invite the band to come up and to lead us in that song, Resurrecting, I want to urge each and every one of you to embrace the life-transforming reality of the resurrection. I want to urge you to look back and know that because Jesus is risen for us, we can have confidence in the past. Look ahead and know that because Jesus is risen for us, we have an unshakable hope for the future. And because Jesus is risen for you, he offers you true comfort here for today. Amen.